You want to hear a story? One devotee was out on Sankirtan. New devotee. He was distributing books. And he gave one book to one man, and the man saw the picture of Prabhupada and had his name. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Swami Prabhupada. So the man said, "What does A.C. mean?" And the devotee didn't know, so he said, "Always cool." That was pretty good. Good preaching. You can use that if you want. He's always cool. I guess we have to sing Jai Radha Madhava. We're our mridanga players. They retired. They went to get their pension. Okay, here we go. Bang him once on one side and two on the other side. No, I'm just kidding. Doom, doom, boom, doo, doo, boom. No, don't do that. Okay, Jai Radha Madhava. It was good to see Mukunda dance. Just to see Mukunda dance was worth the whole kirtan. He dances so nicely. He reminds me of a gopi. Very nice dancing. He dances with like it's natural. Really? Okay, so... So this is a verse spoken by Kapila Dev when he's describing how material energy is manifested and how the different elements produce the different objects of the senses and the senses coming ultimately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is chapter 26 of Canto 3. Verse number 32, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, very technical section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmacha vikurvanad Bhagavad viryukoditat Sabdamatram abhutasman Navasrotam subsabdagam Tasmasat. Tasmasat. From egoism and ignorance. Cha. And. Bikurvanat. Undergoing transformation. Bhagavad Virya. By the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kodita, impelled, Saptabhatram, the subtle element sound, Abhut, was manifested, Tasmat, from that, Naba, ether, Srotam, the sense of hearing. Two. Then, subdagam, which catches sound. Translation. When egoism and ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested, and from sound comes the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. I'll read it again. When egoism in ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested, and from sound comes the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. Prabhupada's purport. It appears from this verse that all the objects of our sense gratification are the products of egoism and ignorance. It is understood from this verse that by the agitation of the element of egoism and ignorance, the first thing which was produced is sound, which is the subtle form of ether. It is also stated in the Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of the objects of material possession, and that by sound one can dissolve this material existence. Anandritam sabda means liberation by sound. The entire material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. The particular sound capable of doing this is the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna. Our entanglement in material affairs has begun from material sound. Now we must purify that sound in spiritual understanding. There is sound in the spiritual world also. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins, and the other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. We have to understand very clearly that sound is the beginning of creation of all material objects for our sense gratification. Similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities are produced from sound. Here it is said that from sound the ether became manifested, and from that air manifested from ether. How the ethereal sky comes from sound, how air comes from sky, how fire comes from air will be explained later on. Sound is the cause of the sky is the cause of shrotam, the ear. The ear is the first sense for receiving knowledge. One must give oral reception to any knowledge one wants to receive, either materially or spiritually. Therefore, shrotam is very important. The Vedic knowledge is called shruti. Knowledge has to be received by hearing. By hearing only, we can have access to either material or spiritual enjoyment. In the material world, we manufacture many things for our material comfort simply by hearing. They are already there, but just by hearing, one can transform them. If we want to build a very high skyscraper, this does not mean that we have to create it. The materials for the skyscraper, wood, metal, earth, etc., are already there. But we make our intimate relationships with those already created elements by hearing how to utilize them. Modern economic advancement for creation is also a product of hearing. Similarly, one can create a favorable feel of spiritual activities by hearing from the right source. Arjuna was a gross materialist in the bodily concepts of life and was suffering from the bodily concept very acutely. But simply by hearing, Arjuna became spiritualized, Krishna conscious person. Hearing is very important, and that hearing is produced from the sky. By hearing only can we make proper use of that which already exists. The principle of hearing to properly utilize preconceived materials is applicable to spiritual paraphernalia as well. We must hear from the proper spiritual source. Bhagavatam is very intricately technical in describing how the whole creation is manifested. In detail, it explains things. The scientists and the philosophers and the different great thinkers of today cannot even conceive how creation unfolds. They have so many ideas, and their ideas are based on empiric observation. They observe things or speculate on things and come up with some formulas, which are always limited and wrong. And then, after so many years, they change it into something different. There is no real knowledge coming from the secular world about the element of creation. They say, what do they say? Big Bang? Big Bang. All of a sudden, there were some gases floating, and then all of a sudden, there was an explosion based on the interaction of the gases. And then the molecules formed into different manifestations of forms. And there we have creation. Makes complete sense, right? That's what they say. That's their understanding of creation. It's just like if you wanted a house, so you take the wood, the metal, the glass, and the tools, from the hammers, the nails, and you put it in one big pile, you put some dynamite, and you blow it up, and then you have a house, right? Makes complete sense. So this is what they're saying. It's all, so they speculate, Big Bang theory, this theory, that theory. But here, Bhagavatam very clearly explains how creation manifests. Krishna glances over the aggregate of all material energy, and by his glance, the living entities are carried by Ramadevi, his consort, and she brings that energy, which includes the time factor, the living entities, and Lord Shiva. The glance of the Lord is Lord Shiva. That's why Lord Shiva is considered to be the father of all living entities. That is Sadashiva, the original Shiva, from where all the other Shivas come from. And by that glance, it agitates the aggregate of the material energies, and then they start to move by that glance. And Brahma comes along and starts to formulate those different energies into the different bodies and formations that make up the material energy. And that's called secondary creation. Krishna is the first creation, and secondary creation is coming by Lord Brahma. Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. So, and then, as the elements start to manifest, the different objects of the senses for the living entities start to appear. And the first manifestation of the creation is sky, as is described here in this particular verse and purport. And from sky, ether is manifested. And ether is the subtlest of all the gross material elements. And ether produces sound. That's why we see, even from the scientific point of view, sound waves travel through sky or through ether. That's the whole science of radio. Radio was understood by that process, by somehow or other, through mechanical means, they have captured the form of ether and manifested through the sky. I don't know all the technicalities, but then sound is transmitted from one place to another without any, connection. So this is the whole scientific theory of how, you know, inventions are made based on sound. So it's actually coming from ether. Ether is the cause of sound. And sound is the original form or the original manifestation of the elements, which brings about the creation. From sound everything comes. As Prabhupada explains in this particular purport, sound creates, and sound helps to manifest the creation, and at the same time, sound destroys. Also, we hear that Lord Shiva, at the end of the time period, when creation is no longer needed for that particular manifestation, he dances and plays very loudly on a drum. And that drum is called his Dindin drum. And he dances with the dance of destruction called Pralaya. And by that sound vibration of Shiva, who is the in charge of destroying, the whole material energy starts to reverse. And as it unfolds in a certain way, it reverses itself in the same way. Really very scientific how everything works. It's all explained in this one section of the Bhagavatam by Kapila Dev in a very, very detailed way. And Prabhupada's purports elaborate on all these details to help us understand, you know, how intricate this the whole manifestation of creation. Krishna goes through so much trouble just to help us to enjoy in this material world. So this sound is actually the source of everything, and from sound comes, of course, hearing, but then from sound, the element sound, from sound comes touch, from touch comes fire, from fire comes water, from water comes earth, and then you have the five gross elements like that, each one more grosser than the previous one. And then the concomitant objects to perceive them, there's the different senses. By eyes we see, that is fire, and by ears we hear, that is the manifestation of sound. By touch we feel, and that's the manifestation of air. Very scientific. By earth we smell, by water we taste. So all the elements are connected to the sense objects and the senses like that. All unfolding in a very scientific way, agitated by the energy of the Supreme Personality Godhead. And then we have, once the basic elements are manifested, Krishna creates the elements itself. There's no secondary creator for that. But the elements are put into action by Lord Brahma, who manifests them according to his intelligence given by Krishna himself. So very scientific. And then we have this, then what we have is what is there in the basic elements, and then we formulate it, and we have houses, and we have cars, and we have sidewalks, and we have so many things. We mix all these elements and we put it together. How do we do it? By learning the science. And Prabhupada says anything that you want to do starts with this process of hearing. So hearing is the most important of all the elements. Why? Because by hearing we learn, by hearing we can actually perform. Without the sense of hearing, nothing can really manifest. So sound is a hearing is a manifestation of sound vibration. So now we have the material energy. So if you want to reverse the material energy while you're in the material energy, you need sound to do that. So sound is both material and spiritual. So Prabhupada describes bring in spiritual sound. And by spiritual sound, you destroy the effects of material sound and bring an awareness of spirit through spiritual sound. Spiritual sound is dynamic, whereas material sound is static. Static means it has a limitation to it, but spiritual sound has no limitations. That's why you can chant the holy name of the Lord and you can never get tired. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get worn out. It gets better and better. Why? Because sound is unlimitedly dynamic, spiritual sound that is. Actually, Prabhupada makes an interesting point. He says all sound is spiritual. Well, what is he, and then he explains it, that the covering over spiritual sound is the material sound. And by removing that covering through spiritual sound, we reveal spiritual sound. So actually, there's only two things in this world. There's Krishna in the form of the holy name. There's three, actually. Jiva, us, the living entities, both are spiritual, and the material energy. And one is inferior and two are superior. But the inferior energy covers the jiva because of the jiva's attachment for enjoying the material energy. Anytime you try to enjoy anything in this world, whatever it is, you become controlled by that element. Any type of enjoyment means you're controlled by that. So when you apply spiritual consciousness and energy to something, you become free from that control. Therefore, freedom is only on the spiritual platform, because interaction with the material energy just covers the living entity and makes him more and more entangled in the desire to enjoy this energy, and it's just a hard struggle for existence. So everyone is caught up in that hard struggle to try to enjoy. So in trying to enjoy means being captured by the energy you try to enjoy. Just like you see, the most gross example is a person, they like to smoke. They can't give up smoking. They know smoking is going to hurt their health, but still, because of their attachment to smoking, they become controlled by that little piece of paper with some tobacco inside. And that becomes the source of their suffering, and ultimately, in many cases, it causes death. So that's in the same way, using other examples, there are unlimited examples, how the living entity gets controlled by the energy. So that control comes by hearing about how to enjoy material life. So that's what everyone's doing. how to enjoy material life or how to manipulate the material energy so I get some enjoyment from it. I'm not enjoying in this way. Let me switch my perception on how to enjoy by my manipulating different ways to enjoy like that. So the living entity is just trying to just do different things to try to enjoy, but they're still within the same realm of material energy. Therefore, they're always caught up in the element of suffering and control. Can't get out. So there's only one way out. It's spiritual sound. That's the only way out. And spiritual sound comes from hearing from Krishna, hearing from the spiritual master, hearing from the scriptures, who are the words of Krishna and the acharyas. And what is the essence of that spiritual sound is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most powerful form of liberating sound vibration. It can cut through all forms of material attachments and material entanglement and bring one's consciousness to complete spiritual awareness. But to approach the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the proper way, one has to have a proper mood of approach. Because Krishna's name is Krishna. It's like if you're approaching God. If God is standing here in his physical form, you would be kind of, you know, very reverent. You wouldn't just say, hey, Krishna, how's it going, you know? How's Radha, you know? What's happening in Vaikuntha, you know? You wouldn't be in that mood. Your mood would be very, maybe you would even faint by his presence. But Krishna has manifested himself in his own name, which is non-different than himself. So approaching the holy name of the Lord means to approach Krishna directly in the same way you would approach Krishna if he was personally present. In that approach, one carefully hears and chants the name with a mood of prayer. In a prayerful mood, one can approach the holy name. If one tries to control the holy name by one's element of chanting, the holy name is not there. All you get is sound vibration, but you don't get the real name. It's almost like five letters. Krishna is non-different than his name, but Krishna doesn't have to manifest himself in his name if he doesn't want to. And he does according to how much the devotee approaches to him with sincerity and with devotion. And that's manifested in the prayerful mood. And so this is the essence of our spiritual success, is to somehow or other connect with Krishna through the sound vibration of his holy name. And this gradually captures our consciousness, where the consciousness now is being transformed from material to spiritual. What is that? What is the indication of consciousness going from material to spiritual? One sees things in relationship to Krishna and not in relationship to oneself. The materialist concept is that I'm the center and everything around me is for my enjoyment or for my manipulation. Or some, in other words, I'm the center. That's the material consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is Krishna's the center. I am Krishna's servant. And the whole material energy is made for Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna's pleasure, excuse me. So in that way, one is now in the beginning to develop spiritual consciousness. And through the chanting that increases, and what are some of the effects? One starts to become free from the desire to enjoy the material energy. Knowing that the material energy is Krishna's energy, it's not enjoyable by me. It's like if I steal something that belongs to you, can I enjoy it? It's not mine. How can I enjoy some stolen property? So the living entity gets their allotment to live in this world by Krishna's arrangement and through the material energy. But beyond that, then one becomes implicated in the reactions of what was suffering and enjoyment in this material energy. So So therefore, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, gradually one becomes free, peaceful. And then one has no more anxiety. Anxiety, well, there is spiritual anxiety, but that's another thing. Spiritual anxiety is Krishna consciousness. There's material anxiety makes one depressed and causes one unhappiness. Spiritual anxiety increases one's devotional service and helps to bring Krishna consciousness into the lives of others. There's a difference. But in the material world, because everyone is thinking I'm the center, they're always in anxiety. Will I enjoy? How do I enjoy like this? So, but when devotees take shelter of the holy name of the Lord and chant in the proper mood, what is one of the most important principles in approaching the holy name? Is one of the most important principles is I look forward to chanting. It's not a burden. It's actually something I look forward to. If we approach the holy name and think, oh no, it's like trying to climb Mount Kilimanjaro with a backpack. Have you ever tried to climb Mount Kilimanjaro? It's in Africa. It's one of the hardest mountains to climb. Devotees did it a few years ago in London. They had a whole program of trying to climb the mountain. Some of them couldn't make it, and a few did. But it was just an effort in, you know, tejas power. They wanted to do something different. But it's a mountain that's not easily climbable, and only few can do it. Huh? Yeah, there's also snow on the top. But they did it. Some of them actually made it. But the point is that if we approach the holy name as a big burden, oh no, it's that time of the day again. Life begins after the 16th round. If we have that mentality, and we just do it as, okay, I have to struggle through it, then it'll be like that. Create what is called an affirmation. An affirmation is, chanting is nice. Chanting is a great gift given by Lord Chaitanya to me to purify my life and to become Krishna conscious. Chanting is fun. If we develop that consciousness, an affirmation is interesting. It's an interesting word because it means a statement of positive success. It hasn't happened already, but you make the statement. Have you ever had in that situation, I will do this? You say it, and by the power of your conviction, it's practically done already. And that's called affirmation. It's a statement of fact before the fact. And that's called the will or conviction, determination to achieve one's object. When we do that with the holy name, I love to chant. I get to chant. I want to chant. In fact, that's all I want to do. By programming your consciousness in a positive way, a whole different mindset starts to develop when you chant. Should I read something in relationship to that? Okay. So here's the surprise. There's a little book called Affirmations. I'll explain more about the book and the author, but there's one affirmation, the one I just mentioned. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, it's here. Number 4. And I'll read a little bit of the explanation. I get to chant, I want to chant, I love to chant. Okay. Often when devotees begin their japa, they don't feel inspired to chant. Sometimes they would rather do something else, like read or do service, or just get busy with some pressing services. for whatever reason, they aren't looking forward to their japa and would rather be doing something else. When you begin chanting in the morning, a fear may subtly speak to you. This is going to be difficult. This is going to be boring. This is not going to be sweet. You may fear that you are not going to be able to control your mind and your japa is going to be a struggle. If your chanting is not consistently good, and if you've gone through some low points in your chanting for some time, it is at these times that these thoughts are likely to haunt you. You may not even realize you are thinking this way, but if you become conscious, that you may notice a little voice that sometimes says, "Oh no, here we go again." Now you might say, "I don't feel this way sometimes, but how is saying I get to chant, I want to chant, I love to chant, how will that make a difference?" My belief is that you do love to chant, you do want to chant, and you do view it as a special blessing. In the many workshops I have done, I have asked devotees, "What would your life be like without the holy name? What if you were prevented from chanting? How would you feel?" When asked these questions, everyone said, "Oh, that's horrible." This means at heart, we all want to chant, we appreciate the holy names, and we see chanting as an opportunity rather than a burden. On a deep level, I do want to chant. I do appreciate the good fortune of having the holy name. I make a commitment to chant. No one forces me. Ultimately, you start chanting because you decided to chant. You want it to become pure, uplifted, and closer to Krishna. Down deep, all of us really love to chant. When you chant properly, you love it. And you love the effects of chanting, even when it's difficult. So you love the effects of chanting even when it's difficult. Connect to the holy names on this level. Realize that you really do want to chant, get to chant, and love to chant, even if you don't always consciously feel that way. This affirmation can connect you with your natural desire to chant. Many devotees have told me that I'm just saying this affirmation before they begin chanting. By doing that, it has a tremendous positive effect on their japa. I know it might sound strange that a few words could make the kind of difference, but they are not just saying the words, they are connecting with the desire to chant and bring their consciousness to that awareness. This affirmation reminds us that we really do appreciate chanting. Just by chanting, I get to chant. Just by saying, I get to chant, I want to chant, I love to chant. You alter your attitude towards the holy name, and thus you alter your experience. So by your attitude, you create an experience of positive. If you're chanting and losing your connection, or if you're getting bored or distraction, then this affirmation will be very powerful for you. It's a reminder that deep down you really want to be chanting and that ultimately it's your favorite activity. As you recite this affirmation, you are affirming to yourself that you appreciate the holy name and the rare opportunity you got to chant the holy name. So that's one of 20 affirmations in this little book by one devotee, Prabhupada disciple, one of the earlier devotees in the Krishna Conscious Movement. His name is Mahatma Das. Maybe you've heard of him. He's also a famous singer. So yeah, this positive way of approach helps to bring about a certain mindset which changes the results of our activities like that. So that's one example. So when the holy name is actually Krishna coming to us in the form of sweet sound vibration. It's actually very sweet. And when we're actually chanting nicely, it tastes sweet. It's almost like tasting some sugar. It's like that. It's just as sweet. There's one, you've probably heard of her. She's very famous in the world. She's running for candidate for the President of the United States next year. Her name is Tulsi Gabbard, and she's the Senator of Hawaii, a representative of Hawaii. And she talks about the Holy Name in that way, that it's so sweet. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. She always talks about how sweet it tastes when you chant. So yeah, it is actually sweet. But we have to work at it and keep a positive mindset. And there's 19 other affirmations in this little book that's available. I have a few copies. Enough for everybody. So I was thinking, before I get into that point, I want to again emphasize that the most important aspect of our development of Krishna consciousness is staying connected with spiritual sound. Mm-hmm. Material sound will drag our consciousness down. That's why they say the most detrimental thing in spiritual life is hearing nonsense talk. Mm-hmm. When we hear nonsense talk, our whole consciousness starts to go to that element of mundaneness. And we start to lose the connection with the spiritual energy. Therefore, it says that one of the most dangerous forms of spiritual contamination or material contamination is to talk nonsense. Talking is sound. And you can see how sound affects when music is heard nicely, sung nicely, sweetly, we were uplifted. Even if it's not even spiritual music, still it uplifts your consciousness. And spiritual music, of course, really uplifts your consciousness. So sound is very powerful. So by staying connected with sound, through hearing, through reading, in different ways, we will always keep our consciousness connected to Krishna in devotional service. And then the mind becomes attracted. As the mind becomes attracted more and more to the spiritual sound, one develops an attachment for Krishna. Strong attachment like that. So it's all based on sound. Everything is based on sound. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the holy name and Krishna's transcendental pastimes, which are a manifestation of the holy name in another form. So hearing Krishna's pastimes is also chanting the holy names of the Lord, like that. Okay, any questions or comments about sound vibration or something related to that? Yes, Mukunda. It is. Yeah, it is.
Affirmation, is this related to sankalpa?
So, directly related to a sankalpa, yeah. That's actually the meaning. Yeah. There's one bhajan called Sudha Bhakata Charanarenu. In that song, it's all sankalpas. It's one of the few bhajans, you know, I will go to Vrindavan and take shelter of the great devotees. I will take the dust of their lotus feet and place it on my hand. Sudha Bhakata Charanarenu Vajana Anukula. Anukula means it will take me closer to Krishna. So yeah, affirmations, sankalpa, it's practically the same. It's the spiritual way of affirming a determined activity. Yeah, good. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I have one question about sound vibration. If I understand correctly, does it have a better effect or more effect if it's loudly or it's not loudly? What is about this volume of sound vibration?
Well, the thing is you have to hear. And so that volume should produce a complete sense of hearing. So sometimes when something is not said loudly enough, we don't really pick it up on it. Loudness sometimes awakens us away from the material consciousness and brings us to the spiritual consciousness. That's why many times we hear the kirtan leaders say, chant loudly. What it does, it forces you to become more attentive to the sound vibration, just by the sound itself. So, we don't want to make that loud sound unpleasant. I mean, it's not like you scream it. But it should be loud enough where you can completely connect to it. There is a connection that is not complete, just like we're in kirtan many times. And we're not really listening to the holy name, although the holy name is going on. We're not connecting to it, because the mind is somewhere else, and the thoughts are somewhere else. The sense of hearing has been distracted by the mind, and therefore we're not tuned into the sound vibration. So therefore, in order to bring about that awareness of the presence of spiritual sound, volume has an effect one way or the other. It's good.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, Dharma Prabhu.
How the following of four regulative principles is connected to chanting of Maha Mantra. If someone is not following strictly four regulative principles, can also be attached to chant Maha Mantra or not?
Well, the principle of chanting is the principle of following the instructions of the spiritual master. Everything comes from that sound force. The spiritual master tells us to chant Hare Krishna. He teaches us how to chant Hare Krishna. He also teaches us what is the results of. So the basis of all spiritual success is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He says, hear from Krishna, hear from the scriptures, follow these principles. When we do that, we get a certain element of success that is already guaranteed by when we follow those instructions. By not following the instructions, we can't connect to Krishna, because that connection is through the sound vibration of the spiritual master's instructions. So for not following the four regulative principles, which is foundational, why is it foundational? It's given at the time of initiation, or it's vowed to at the time of initiation. So the initiation ceremony more or less deals with the essence of our spiritual practice. Chant 16 rounds on beads every day, and follow these four principles. That's foundational to everything else we do. If we don't establish a foundation, how can you build a house on a weak foundation or no foundation? So it's all based on following the instructions of the spiritual. And these, Prabhupada has set this as the minimum standard for practice. Even if you don't do anything else, if you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, you're in a good position. You're in a good position. Of course, you want to do more, because if you're chanting, you'll actually be inspired to do some service. So, but these four regulative principles prevent us from getting captured by Maya. They are the pillars, Prabhupada said, the four regulative principle contains all forms of sinful activities within those four. So if you follow those four, you're not committing any sinful activities. And by doing that, you get the mercy of the spiritual master, and then when you approach the holy name, you're approaching in the right consciousness, or a better consciousness. Does that help? Thank you. Yes, there was a question over here. No? Didn't see. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Mukunda. Well, class is over soon and I'll be out the door. Oh, now you're getting really You really ruined the whole question now. I'm going to be here till Thursday morning. So they threw me out of Croatia and said stay away for a while. So I was there too long. So I decided to take shelter here. You know, I have to find some place to go. When nobody wants you any place, you have to, you know, go someplace and you stay for a little while, and then it gets, you know, they give you the eviction notice and then you have to move on. It's good for sannyas life. It keeps you moving. Okay, so anyway, just in case you're thinking of taking sannyas, this is what happens. So, this is a little book. It's called Japa Affirmations. That was one I read. I'll read one more just to inspire you. The book is $1,000. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Payable immediately. When I chant. That's another affirmation. In other words, I don't do anything else. I receive and feel Krishna's presence, mercy and love in the holy name. I chant to please Radha and Krishna, not to gain anything material. These are a few of the affirmations. So the book is free, actually. But we always, in our traditional Hare Krishna way of doing things, we always ask, if you can give a donation, that's nice. If you can't, the book is yours anyway. Don't feel obligated to give a donation, but if you feel inspired, come up and get a book, and we have a little bag here. You just throw your donation inside the bag, and I won't even look on how much you give. If you give one cent, that's okay. If you don't give anything, it's just as good. Okay, so anybody want this book? It's really, really nice. So, yeah, just come up and get it. Okay.